This is KBOO Portland. It's 8 o'clock on a Wednesday. Time for the Wednesday Talk Radio program with your host, Paul Rowland. Stay tuned to your community connection.
Hold your head up, lift the top of your mind, put your eyes on the earth, lift your heart to your own home planet. What do you see? What is your attitude? Are you here to improve or damn it? Look right now, and you will see we're only here by the skin of our teeth as it is. So take heart and take care of your link with life.
And good morning, everybody out there or wherever you are. I'm Paul Rowland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio, where we do indeed carry it on, notwithstanding pandemics, privatizations, full-on fascist and neoliberal assaults, and the rest. Speaking of neoliberal assaults, we know that this full-on assault on the U.S. Postal Service is creating an even more uncertain and precarious situation in the world, in the United States, and with the upcoming elections. And it's calling into further attention, into starker relief, the assault on public institutions that's been going on under neoliberalism for decades. And so we need to protect and value our public spaces. I know that it's the U.S. Postal Service has been shown to have a plus more than 90% bipartisan public approval rating in polls. And I would venture to say that not far behind are our public libraries. I know that's true for me, and I imagine quite a few of people listening right now to my voice. And you probably have heard that either because of and or under the cover of the COVID pandemic, there is a move afoot to cut up to 128 library jobs, and I should be very careful, and I know that there is some discussion about what the actual numbers are, which hopefully my guest will be able to help clarify, may be cut. Library Director Vaily Olke has made no effort to clarify the number of positions that will be cut to library staff. This has instilled a sense of fear and uncertainty for staff. Positions slated for elimination include clerks, the only digital equity librarian, access services assistants, library assistants, and youth librarians, including one-third of the BCLA, Black Cultural Library Advocates, youth librarians. My guest, Wendy Medrano, is a bilingual Spanish-speaking library assistant and a represented member of the Local 88 Union. She has worked with Multnomah County Library for 9 years, and in that time has worked closely with the Latinx community in East County. She's getting her degree in library information sciences to become a librarian, and she is part of the organizing effort to stop the layoffs and stand up against racism at the library. And they have a website, which is www.savelibrarystaff.org, and I believe she is with us on the phone. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. So, first of all, I would wonder if you'd like to tell us as much as you would like about your own personal story, and I guess especially as it relates to how you came to be working for the Multnomah County Library.
Sure, yes, thank you. I'm an immigrant, and I came from Mexico with my mom when I was young, and that's kind of one of the connections I really have with the library. Growing up, I would see her, you know, kind of struggle with some of the, like, forms that she'd have to fill out. Like, I did a lot of translating when I was really young. And it was kind of scary because, you know, when you depend on a child, obviously she was the adult, but like, you know, for translations and stuff like that, it just feels like a lot of pressure. And, you know, you love your mom and you want them to be taken care of, and you feel like that weight of that responsibility. So growing up, that was kind of something that I kind of internalized. And I realized what, you know, my mom had given up when she came to the United States as I got older. And so I just, it's always been something that's kind of been on my mind. And then separately, you know, I had a few different jobs, and I ended up finding a job at the library, which specifically was a Spanish-speaking position. And I was like, wow, this is a great opportunity to finally be using my Spanish. I'm going to give it a try. And I really enjoyed it. And then the more I learned about it, because I started as a clerk, the more I learned about it, I realized that the library really helps a lot of people in my mom's similar situation. And I kind of started to put it together. What I wanted to do is the type of work where I could be the person that my mom could have depended on to someone else. So I really like to focus my time working with immigrants and anybody that's kind of having trouble, you know, with any sort of system, like finding a job. We do a lot of that. That we print out immigration paperwork. We help kids with their homework. There's just a lot of support that we can give to reduce that stress for families.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got to tell you that I've heard firsthand accounts like yours of kids being put in that position. It's just so poignant, or I don't know what the word is. I try to put myself in the position, and gosh, especially I guess if you're, I've heard of like really young children being put in that position, and it's anyway, I don't know. My heart goes out to you. Obviously, long since, you know, had that experience. But anyway, that's something that
we learn really fast.
What's that?
We learn really fast.
Yeah. Right. Well, I guess it's good for both your language and your cultural skills, I guess.
Exactly. And it made me really responsible.
So let's, well, tell us, you've said a lot of things about your job. You've been working there 9 years. I don't know, is there anything, any particular experiences? I guess we'll get more in depth as we go along. We got the whole hour after all, but, you know, any particular experiences you've had with people that you come to mind? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's lots of stories. I worked in East County for 7 years. I recently was transferred to another location, but the most significant part of my time with Multnomah County Library has been in East County. And it's like an investment from yourself when you're trying to reach communities that aren't necessarily open to you know, going to the library necessarily. There's a lot of misinformation about, you know, identification and who you can trust and all that stuff. So it took a while to, you know, get to know people in the neighborhood, start talking with them and showing them, basically earning their trust. And that's something I really value. And that's one thing that is, you know, people might think of it from the patron's perspective, but also from our perspective, that's true. That's real. We care. So it's a, you know, a genuine version of us kind of opening our hearts to our patrons, as well as like if, you know, they feel comfortable with us. And so that happens a lot in a lot of libraries. Those connections are made. And I worked with all kinds of kids. I worked with teenagers and adults. So the thing with my job, because it's a Spanish speaking role, I had varied ages. Sometimes they'll be split up, like the positions will be split up. Somebody will focus on early childhood services, somebody else on teens. But my help was kind of just a little bit of everything. So I would do story times, I would do English story times and Spanish story times. The little kids would sometimes stay over into the Spanish story time, and they would just follow the directions. And I asked the parents if they were, you know, studying anything or practicing at home, and they said no, they're just picking it up with you. And so it was just really funny because these kids that are just learning to talk that are following directions and instructions in Spanish. It's really incredible. We have teens. I've seen a lot of teens grow up. You know, they come to the teen council, and it's it's something where you kind of have to convince them, and you can't act like too enthusiastic. Like, you can't act like you really, really want them to join. So you have to play it cool and, you know, get to know them and slowly kind of give them the idea to come attend a program. And normally once you get them to the program, there's food and, you know, they're really fun things that they do in addition to volunteering, and they start to warm up. So over years, I've seen kids who were reluctant to join the teen council, who are very quiet, maybe our online students. We had kids from all over different schools, so they don't necessarily know each other, and that's actually great because they can start fresh in the teen council with kids their own age, but they don't kind of carry whatever they think their identity is from school. Yeah.
No, it's really wonderful. This is a whole kind of, not a whole new world, but it's a whole other aspect that I knew very, very little about the, you know, the role that the library can play in I don't know, multicultural community access or whatever you want to call it. But I always seen it as a real community institution. But obviously, there's whole aspects to it that many of us don't know much about. This is a really great opportunity here. But of course, the reason we're talking about it right now is because apparently some of those aspects might be under threat. I guess you'll talk about maybe your own situation. Let's talk some more generally. I mean, okay, so the COVID crisis is, I mean, people's first response might be, well, of course they have to cut back, you know, people, you know, because of social distancing, sure, because of people's fears of, you know, encountering other people in public. People aren't going to the libraries. Libraries are closed. So, of course, they're going to have to cut back. They don't, you know, they need to, you know, conserve their resources. So talk about, is there a budget crisis right now in the Multnomah County system that you think requires these cutbacks?
Well, actually, so this exact layoff process, the one that's currently happening with the library for Multnomah County, it's just within the library, and this one is not based on the budget. So we have actually secured the budget in June for this next fiscal year, which included the staffing that some of those people, those are getting cut. In Multnomah County, they might see layoffs in the future because of these cuts, but that's a separate issue because we, if voters remember, we passed a district which taxes homeowners a little bit differently so that our money doesn't like get as separated and distributed among other things. So the taxpayers have entrusted us by approving that district. And so with that, we ensured that, you know, services would continue. But once you start with the layoffs, which are not affected by the budget, that's where services are going to start to get cut, because you think about all the work that one person can do, you know, besides like what you see the library for whatever you visit for, but, you know, building those relationships, offering programs for different ages, that's the kind of stuff that's going to go with the person.
Mm-hmm. So in this statement that came out on July 28 by the Director of Libraries, Vaili Oke, she's pretty clear about the reason being that this is directly related to COVID-19.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I guess the rationale is space within the libraries, and you know, a lot of workplaces have been affected from it, and it's just, you know, we don't know what to do. A lot of people, you know, shut down, and we're just trying to follow the rules and figure it out along the way. So I know a lot of places have done that, but as soon as we kind of started to figure out that we were going to be home a lot, we started, you know, sending in ideas because our work was disrupted. So some of us, I worked for a short time in the school age services doing school age outreach, and believe it or not, I was really busy the entire time. I was working 40 hours and I couldn't work enough because the teachers didn't have support. You know, from one day to the next, the teachers were expected to teach online, and we had to transfer all of our materials that we normally provide into ebooks and digital resources. So we had to provide them with, you know, like if you're doing any research, it's all online now because we can't distribute books. So those cuts, you know, weren't actually, it's not true that there's no work, and there's other examples of that. So if we think about, you know, the space issue, we have workarounds for that. We do a lot of outreach in normal times when it's not COVID isn't affecting us. We go to different organizations. We'll go, you know, to parks, to community events, all that stuff. So we're pretty nimble in that situation. And a lot of us are very tech savvy. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunities. We can visit schools like I did in the school corps online. You know, we did virtual visits. It took a little bit of getting used to, but a lot of the services that we offer aren't actually what you see. So if the concern is that we can't fit people in the building, that, I mean, that might be true as far as space is concerned, but our services go way past that. We've been doing online story times. You know, we could be reaching out to our communities of color, which right now we're not focused on. And that's not for lack of wanting to. It's they're being overprotective of us, and which is great, and I really value that, you know, they seem to be concerned about safety. But, you know, once you have your mask and everything that you need and your materials, and you can be out like in a park and you can greet patrons, you can answer questions from the park 6 feet apart and just kind of check in with them, make sure that, you know, find out what their needs are so we can prepare, you know, information about COVID, you know, health information, or provide them with masks. And so the next time you come around, you can kind of distribute that. There's a lot of really creative ways that we can get involved that don't require the buildings.
Yeah, I guess a lot of this hinges. Well, I mean, it's the uncertainty is such a big thing. Obviously, there's we still don't know. I mean, we won't even get into the reasons why a lot of this is way more necessary or the reasons why the crisis at all levels is so intense, you know, in terms of politically. But the whole issue of being able to work remotely, which all across the board, all different fields, people are being forced into, seems to be a central question. We can talk more about that. And I want to get into the, you know, the whole organizing. I know a lot of people are really inspired by the fact that so many people jumped on, that you all were able to actually form a real organization in a relatively short period of time. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you specifically about what you were talking about, this difference between the sort of the public statements of library management and this, and what you all are saying. And so I want to ask you about whether there actually are discussions between staff and management, and whether you feel they're listening to you. But it sounds like we already have a caller on the line. I want to let people know this is a call-in show, and the number is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I also have a Facebook page, KBOO Wednesday Talk Radio. If you don't want to call in, or you can't call in or whatever, and you are on Facebook, you can lay something on me on that. I think you have to like the page first. And I know I laid a lot on you for what to get into after we talked to Sean, but let's hear what Sean has to say. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi. My name is Sean. I'm a library employee. I've been an employee for over 20 years at the Multnomah County Library, and I'm one of the people whose job has been eliminated. Unfortunately, because of my seniority, I'm probably going to end up bumping a less senior colleague, which is a horrible thing in itself. But what I wanted to talk about today was what I believe are the reasons for these layoffs. And in my view, they have nothing to do with the budget, and they have nothing to do with social distancing. The union and many other people have already suggested that we have overlap or not non-overlapping shifts, which would solve the social distancing problem. There are thousands and thousands of holes that patrons have placed that are going unfilled because there's just not enough people to do the work. And that's not serving our community. But I'm going to try not to be too inside baseball when I try to explain the economic reality of what's happening here. But there are different classifications of jobs at the library. And there are basically four. There are access services assistants, clerks, library assistants, and librarians. And unfortunately, what is happening here is that there's a lot of overlap. As a matter of fact, those bottom two classifications, ASAs and clerks, do essentially the same exact work. Unfortunately, the library management has been trying to get rid of the classification that is paid more, and they have settled all of the duties of that higher classification on the classification that gets paid $3 an hour less. This has been going on for years at the library. They've been getting rid of library clerks for many years. In this layoff, they have cut almost 50% of those clerks. In the same way, library assistants, or LAs, do a lot of the same work as librarians. And over the years, librarians are paid much more than LAs, and over the years, they have cut the number of librarians and increased the number of library assistants. And so I think this is an exercise in disaster capitalism, and that library management is using this opportunity to flatten wages and cut staff who make more money in order to replace those jobs with staff who are lower paid. And I hope I did a decent job of explaining that.
So let me, you're speaking to the question I posed to Wendy before you started, which is, so you're saying that there are ways, this overlapping shifts. Are there channels to be able to make these proposals to management, obviously, I guess, through the union, to talk about the process? And if they haven't been, why not? And if they have, what has the response been?
There's been no response from management.
Okay.
There's the formal union that has been asking for this and saying that there's been talk of having up to three shifts that don't overlap in order to, and people in the library are willing to work a graveyard shift to get materials to patrons if it's going to mean saving the jobs of their colleagues. Management doesn't want to talk about this. And the reason, in my opinion, they don't want to talk about it is because their plan is to cut these experienced, very talented and well-paid workers in order to make everyone generalists. They want to have one classification that does all the work. They've already started doing this. When I started the library 20 years ago as an entry-level page, I wasn't allowed to answer questions except where's the bathroom, because libraries have always been of the opinion that any question can turn into a reference question, and you need special training to do a reference interview and find out exactly what a patron wants. Now, anyone in the library is encouraged to go ahead and answer any reference question. They are told, if you feel like you're an expert on something, you're an expert on something. Of course, library management doesn't pay these people for their expertise. They're still paid in the lowest paid classification, but they're encouraged to do the jobs of higher classifications. And that's just one way that library management has flattened wages and like I said, tried to replace those higher paid employees with people who are paid less but are being asked to do the same duties. And I believe that that's what this layoff situation is all about. They've been moving slowly toward that model for years.
Well, I want to let go ahead, Wendy, if you want to chime in.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. As far as let anyone answer a question. A lot of these things kind of seem simple, but we get special training, like Sean said, to ask the right kinds of questions to pinpoint what the patron is actually looking for. So if you ever have gone up to any sort of information desk and you've had a question, I know that it's happened to me a lot. I'll just kind of ask like completely the wrong thing. And you might get the answer for that specifically. And then you feel like you're all done and, you know, you should move along. That, you know, that's happened to me in other locations where, you know, it's like, oh yeah, okay, well now I'm in this section and that's not what I meant, but now I'm embarrassed. So, you know, with kids, there's a different technique. With teens, there's a different technique. And with adults, like if somebody's asking for something, they might be hinting towards something else. So that's why that training is really important. And I agree that the layoffs are probably part of a bigger plan because the positions that are getting cut don't reflect anything to do with space. They have left a couple of positions vacant for an unreasonable amount of time, and it turns out that the vacant positions are some of the ones that are getting eliminated. Some of the ones that are concerning are the two Spanish bilingual librarian positions in East County, and those were just recently added, maybe in the last couple of years. And so we've worked really hard to make changes within the library to advocate for those. So you can't just put a Spanish-speaking librarian in a branch. You have to wait for the librarian that has been working there, you know, their entire career, to retire or to transfer to another branch. You know, you can't just take that position. And then they assess it, and then they make the adjustment to add, you know, the Spanish-speaking requirement or something like that. So it has taken years to get those librarians. And the librarian positions that have been eliminated are from Gresham and Rockwood, are the most high need in Spanish-speaking in the entire Multnomah County area. And that's just, you know, that's the way it happens. So I think it's, you know, to make cuts the way that they're doing is pretty reckless. You know, they're not assessing each position and how each position could benefit. The Spanish-speaking community is really going to lose out for that. And then another example is Albina just got their first Black librarian. They did, you know, for these in the Spanish-speaking positions too, they do national recruitments. So they brag about, you know, how equitable and, you know, like we have all these things to offer. We're really well known, apparently, in the library world. I didn't know that until I talked to a librarian that kind of transferred from a different area, and everybody just talks about Multnomah County Library because they're really good at advertising that they're cutting edge and doing all these things. So a lot of people really want to work for Multnomah County. So there have been librarians and other staff that have been nationally recruited that have been either laid off or taken out of the job. So now Albina will not have their first Black librarian. She was here maybe 6 months before the pandemic started. And, for example, her position has been eliminated.
Wow. So I think we're kind of limited with our ability to have callers stay on the line and accept new callers. So maybe, Sean, if you have any last points, and we'll let you go and let some other people have a chance.
Just that, as I said, management's engaging in disaster capitalism, and they're using this pandemic and throwing library workers out on the street without any health care in order to reach some sort of economic goal, and I think it's wrong. And thank you, Wendy, for your presence on this show, and thanks to everybody, and goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. And 503-231-8187. You know, I had this kind of stray thought came into my brain, and it's kind of flippant, but, you know, I don't know. With the way things are going, it's maybe it's actually more to the point than I might want to think, but, you know, maybe they're heading towards some kind of artificial intelligence interface instead of actual staff. Because, well, and there is something serious about it, because I have heard intimations that there is a move afoot towards greater automation in any case, not necessarily artificial intelligence, but I think through the sorting of incoming materials or something like that. Do you know much
right.
about that? Looks like we got a caller in line, but go ahead and answer that.
Yeah, we just recently, it's just like the timing kind of coincides. We just recently got, it's called an automated materials handling system, and that's not one of the branches that I work at, but essentially it's, you know, a machine that kind of processes materials, and, you know, that's been kind of one of their things that they're saying, you know, it'll reduce the work that staff have to do, but we're just not there yet. You know, just like artificial intelligence, these machines take a lot of staff, you know, to continue that work. You know, that's not going to end up, you know, alphabetizing the books and then putting them on the shelves to be found. So these are really complex things that they're trying to, you know, identify as, you know, whoa, the machine can do it. But that's not necessarily the case.
Right. And then there's the inevitable breakdowns and the cost to fix the breakdowns and the, you know,
sure.
getting the cost for new part. Yeah, I mean, the technological, it's a treadmill. Treadmill is, but that's a whole other subject. But let's go to our next caller. Yeah, at 503-231-8187. Andrew, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, so I'm kind of newer to this issue of library layoffs. I just saw some folks out at Midland Library, and so just went onto the website. So I've been trying to educate myself. But quite frankly, it's kind of confusing because I'm getting two different stories and just saw over like some different facts of the number of positions being cut. And I think my biggest question is, I hear that it's not budget related, but I don't understand why we would be cutting jobs if it's not budget related. I think the economy collapsing is really understandable, and I as a taxpayer could understand, you know, fiscal responsibility. But when I hear it's not budget related, I also hear about the fines just being taken away, and that was like $500,000. Should fines? So I guess I have got a couple questions. One, is it a budget problem? And is that what's happening? And should we put fines back on books?
Those are great questions. I guess I'll jump in. Thanks. Well, the fines, they actually make up like a 5% of the overall budget, so it's not really a huge impact. And the impact for patrons is actually a lot better. This is a movement that's happening nationally. If you think about this from an equity standpoint, there are a lot of families who are impacted by, you know, their inability to return the books on time because they're busy, they have two jobs, or, you know, any number of reasons. So, you know, if we cut people off because they have too many fines, those are the people that are really need the library services. So we don't want to exclude them from accessing books and computers because that's just creating a problem. The budget is not related, or it's not about the budget. The taxpayers have voted to fund the library, including the staff, for the fiscal year 2021. And so that's happened. But the layoff notice came out on July 7th. So my concern is that we've approved a budget and everybody's agreed upon it, but then they made another decision. So what's going to happen with the money? Rather than the taxpayers saying, you know what, we want to keep these services we paid for, they're just going to make the decisions for us. Mm-hmm. And that's not really, I mean, it's not, we've seen this pattern throughout like this whole issue is that there's no transparency. The communication is poor. Sometimes we find out information when it's released to the Oregonian or something else. And, you know, we're experts, we're professionals, we're working with the public, you know, we're right there with them. These executive managers spend hardly any time in the branches. Like, we'll have a visit from one that, you know, if it's their region, maybe 2 hours in a year, you know, at one of the branches. So it's really stressful to think about how they're cutting things because they don't know what this work entails, apparently. And, you know, if they really cared about, you know, keeping our services for the taxpayers, they would spend that time to kind of figure out what is really needed rather than cutting. Transparency, and they just need to be honest and direct with the taxpayers and let the taxpayers decide what they want to do with their own money rather than set it aside to do their own projects later.
You want to ask your second question?
I actually had a quick follow-up. How does funding work for the library? Is it a for-profit institution?
No, it's not a for-profit institution. It's funded by the taxpayers, and it comes from taxes from your home, how you get taxed in your home. So that's not really, you know, it gets really technical. But like I said earlier, a few years ago we passed the district, which kind of separated us a little bit from Multnomah County's overall budget, and that's why the budgets that might be coming in the county, you know, in like 6 months or so, those are separate than what we're going through as far as layoffs, because our budget hasn't been impacted because the taxpayers, you know, chose to to fund us because they trust us. And I think that trust comes from the frontline workers, not from the decisions made by executive management.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Let me just reintroduce the subject and my guest. And we're talking about cuts. And my next question is going to be, what's exactly going on with these cuts, if they've already happened or if they're just proposed or what? But we are talking about the Multnomah County Library and these layoffs. And my guest is Wendy Medrano, who's a bilingual Spanish-speaking library assistant who has worked with Multnomah County Library for 9 years and I guess has recently had a shifted her position but worked in the Latinx community in East County for a long time. Again, 503-231-8187. We only have about 20 minutes left, so get your question in early. Don't wait till the very end. It looks like we got, I think it's Kyra on the line, but hold off just a second. So talk about, I guess I'm a little confused as to, so have people actually lost their positions already?
The announcements have been made, and we're under the understanding that we won't get any more surprise announcements, but it's just kind of hard to keep track of. So it kind of goes in an order where people were notified that their positions were eliminated. Depending on their seniority level, they can do what Sean said is bump into another position. So that's based off of the union contract. More senior employees have rights to those positions, and then the less senior employees, eventually, after all those levels of bumping, will be the ones that are actually laid off, which generally tends to impact BIPOC, BIPOC, so Black, Indigenous, people of color, you know, that we don't end up having a diverse workforce. We will end up having like a primarily white workforce once again, because the library has always been primarily staffed by white people. So these most recent additions of all these diverse individuals, I mean, that's a reflection of the library. They finally started getting on board. So, you know, it's going to be a big loss.
So your position?
My position, I was informed that I will be relocated. So when we're going to do shift fitting, so right now I'm working at the Holgate Library as a Spanish-speaking library assistant. I've always been a Spanish-speaking staff member. That's a certain designation. And my letter says that that will be removed. So I'm not really sure why, but they said I could, you know, when we do shift bidding, everybody has an opportunity, depending on seniority, to choose a location and schedule. And I'm really hoping that I'll get to continue working with the Spanish-speaking community, because otherwise, that's another example of a completely wasted resource. I have connections. I've built all these relationships with people. And to put me at a branch where you don't need a Spanish speaker, you know, it hurts my feelings, but also, you know, it's just wasting all the, you know, the institutional knowledge people have built and just redistributing them amongst the libraries. It's a big loss.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to our next caller. Tell me if I have or have not pronounced your name right, Kyra?
Yes, that's correct.
Go ahead.
So my name is Kyra, and I work for Multnomah County Libraries. I am the African American librarian for the Albina branch that will be laid off. I moved from Colorado to accept the position and have been in the role for about 9 months. And once the layoff goes through, and I have received my layoff notice, it will be effective September 30th. It was initially supposed to be effective August 31st, but the union did intercede and asked for some committees to be formed to look at job creation and create priorities for virtual programming and other things that we have been doing that could use more staffing and other things as we navigate COVID-19. And so for me, you know, I will be returning to Colorado, for sure. These cuts are so untimely, and, you know, I think, at least for me, as an outsider looking in, you know, the move of the Albina branch, you know, that occurred during this pandemic, and I feel like there hasn't been good communication to the Black community related to that. And, you know, they don't know or understand at this point what is going to be lost after we get through this pandemic. I have been successfully teleworking for the library, and have done a lot of digital programming for them and supporting community outreach as much as we possibly can. So the untimeliness of these layoffs as we prepare for school to begin again, and the demand and need to support families of color as we navigate pandemic school in a pandemic. I mean, the library is, we're education supporters. And so that's part of the reason why we're really struggling to understand why there is a reluctance to pivot to support school districts during this time, or supplemental educational programs and development, you know, during this time, and why we're not planning for the entire school year.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that I mean, that just seems plain cruel, your personal situation. I mean, it I guess their rationale would be that they have to establish, you know, rules that apply equally to everybody, and, you know, the seniority or whatever. I'm sure that's their rationale, but it from what Wendy was saying about just making sense in terms of, I mean, yours is a little different in terms of, like, you know, her accumulated experience there in East Portland being sort of going to waste, but it's similar in that, you know, your position was create, you know, you were put into a position for particular reasons, and that those should be honored. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm a bit at a loss.
Yeah. I'm at a loss too. For sure, because I recognize and I see the need, and yet, unfortunately, the only way that our library leadership seems to engage with us is through the media and press releases. And this is, unfortunately, part of the reason why the library staff have gone this route.
Well, while you're still on, let me just, this morphs back into the question that we kind of got into, which is the communication question, and the, you know, the whole issue of, you know, being able to have a role in decision making in the workplace has been a thorny question for labor activists for forever, and it seems like this is a particular important moment to bring that up. It just seems like there is no real attempt to involve the staff in this process. Is that accurate? Let me turn back to Wendy, and then Kyra, you can chime in.
That's true, and that's been one of my frustrations for a long time, because as a representative of the Spanish-speaking community, you know, I've fought for translations for materials. We're far behind a lot of other libraries. Sorry, I just totally lost the question.
Oh, just the, you know, the ability for the necessity at this time to have clear, you know, to have actual, you know, negotiations between management and staff over the process that affects staff so greatly.
Yeah, so we we feel really strongly about these issues because we're part of our communities, we see the needs, and so if we're not being listened to, then how do they assess all these cuts and programming? You know, the taxpayers are people of all ages and races, and everybody that's paying taxes deserves to be represented with the library. However, the library management is the only ones making the decision, where a lot of our people of color are, you know, the ones that are either getting bumped or in lower positions, and quite frankly not being included in those discussions, where, you know, I would go ahead and say that we are the experts for that. They're not currently either, like Kira said, they're not communicating with the Black community. They're not communicating with the Spanish-speaking community either. And these are taxpayers. So, you know, we need to be upfront about what's happening.
Akira?
So I'll just chime in here that based on my observations, you know, I feel like more could be done or shared with the communities that are going to be impacted by these losses. I started a few months before the pandemic occurred, and, you know, I really haven't had enough time here to make an impact. So for me, you know, I've had to rise up to the challenge to try and connect with folks virtually. And I feel like I've done that as well as I can, as was highlighted recently with some collaborations within the county for the Reach story times that were recently offered. But when I mentioned about the Albina move, you know, a lot of attendees in the meeting were not aware of that. If you go to our website to try and find that information, it's very difficult and challenging, and that's a disservice to, you know, all of our library users.
That's the organizing website, savelibrarystaff.org?
Let me clarify. If you go to the library's website for library service updates, the information is no longer posted there.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Albina library move. And so to me, that is a disservice. You know, even with our computer labs, they're appointment based, and so that makes it challenging for people of color that are trying to take care of necessary business that they need to try and get a limited appointment. So I think that those are a couple of examples where we could be doing more to communicate that to the communities that have the greatest need. And that's what I'm not seeing, you know?
Well, listen, thank you very much. I'd like to have you on more. We only have about less than 10 minutes left, and I just want to give other people a chance. So really appreciate hearing from you. And I hope there's some way to revisit the decision about your position. But so all I can say is best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good talking with you. And I got a message on my KBOO Wednesday Talk Radio page, which you can go to as well. Let me just read it. Jenny Jones says, I agree with Wendy that this is a perfect example. Actually, it was Sean that said this is a perfect example of disaster capitalism operating. The stories I'm hearing here are tragic personally to the library employees, especially those of color and patrons, and the larger point, a tragedy for the public library in Multnomah County as an institution. I think the library director is responsible for this surgical deconstruction of the social value of the library. From my perspective, she should be sued by the union for discrimination. I would help with that project. This is a terrible situation. I was in the same union when I worked for the county assessor's office, and the union should be behind this. This is a tragedy for the community. I have two questions for Wendy. One, are any of the security being cut? They are the worst in my library. I'm not sure what that means. Two, what is the status of the John Wilson reference library in this?
The security staff are not affected by these layoffs. So I guess they are in a classification that can't be bumped or affected at all. They've decided to keep security. And I'm really sorry that they're the worst. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a variety of people that do that work, but there will not be cuts to security. Just front-facing staff helping workers. And then the John Wilson room is a special collection that we have in the central library. And I'm not 100% sure, but I did see that somebody was cut from that position. So, you know, when you work in something like that, we have materials that have been donated from all over the place, and it's a special, you have to make an appointment to even go in there. So these people are specially trained, and to have lost one already is, like, from what I know, that's a lot of, you know, specialized work. So I'm not really sure if they're going to continue to offer that.
Okay. And it looks like, looks like Stephanie's on the line. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Hello, my name is Stephanie. I'm calling in to speak a little bit more about the Spanish-speaking, the East County communities. I am the bilingual youth librarian at the Troutdale Library, and I was one of those that was nationally recruited to come to that position. I was one of two that was nationally recruited almost 2 years ago, and unfortunately, one of us that was recruited has been notified that they will be laid off. And I'd like to talk about how they are talking about being fiscally responsible. And these national recruitments take time and money. And they did one just under 2 years ago to get me here. And we were doing one just before all this happened. And now with the Gresham and Rockwood positions, the vacant positions being eliminated, therefore they're going to have to do another national recruitment because unfortunately we don't have the staffing here at this library system. And, you know, I moved from Southern California to take this position thinking that it was going to be a life-changing position because of the reputation this library has. And when I first started this job, I literally had to fight to do my job because I wasn't being allowed to do the things that I needed to do to serve the community. And as of right now, there's only two bilingual Spanish youth librarians in East County. And, you know, depending on what happens, we don't know what's going to happen. Potentially, there can be, because I'm now lowest on the seniority list, and there can potentially be just one bilingual Spanish youth librarian for all of East County. And that is an incredible disservice to our community. Our community deserves better. And, you know, the library administration is saying that they're leading with race. And I think that they forget that the staff members that they bring into this organization are also part of the communities they are so desperately and vocally saying that they are going to support.
Well, thank you for that. Unfortunately, we have so little time left. I'll have to leave it at that and have Wendy respond. And I have another Facebook post and one last question for Wendy. So go ahead, Wendy.
Great. Thanks, Stephanie. Yeah, it's going to be a huge impact. And to the community, you know, like the BIPOC staff are getting affected most, but that's a reflection of the community getting affected. And, you know, quite frankly, people just don't know. And once you lose services, as you've seen, you know, with other automated things like at the grocery store or whatever, things don't go back. So once these positions are cut, they might kind of fudge some things and put people back in different places. But what are you losing with that? You know, as Sean said, is the quality going to be lost? Is it going to be machines just sorting your books? I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to scare people in that way, but it's just, once we start to see lowered quality, it's really hard to get back to where you were. And we have a national reputation for that.
So I actually can't find this other post, but I do have a request to bring it back to action and participation, which I had been wanting. That was going to be my last question. And I know there's been a a pretty quick blossoming of this movement of workers. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, but what are you asking people to do? Maybe repeat the website. I hear there's a petition and putting pressure on local officials.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because one of the reasons that we came together so fast is because there's so many talented individuals in this organization. So we're really blessed to have people who are experts in all kinds of things. And we put up a website pretty quickly, and you can visit that. It's savelibrarystaff.org. So you can go there and we'll offer information. There's also links to do the different actions. You can use our hashtag, take photos. And then we also really, really encourage you, if you feel strongly about this, there's a petition on the website that you can fill out, and it has a a form letter that you can add to or change. And then that will be sent to executive management team, as well as Chair Kafori and the other commissioners. And that's savelibrarystaff.org.
So have you gotten any support from other unions, from elected officials? I know this thing's kind of just been a month, I guess, or so. What's shaking?
It's just getting started. We're really hoping that, you know, doing these interviews will kind of let the public know. But the people that we have reached have been very supportive. And we've been getting, you know, endorsements. We have Noam Chomsky made a statement about it. So you can look on the website and see, you know, what kind of support we have. But we're just getting started, and we're fighting against they have, you know, a whole communications department that's devoted to releasing, you know, press releases and statements. So when you read any of those materials, those are, you know, made by the executive team who hire professionals to send out those messages. We're just the workers on the other side trying to make sure that the other side of the story gets told.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the process of organizing it. How many people are involved? I guess you all meet virtually, obviously. And there's probably some library workers who haven't maybe even heard about it yet. How are you getting the word out?
So it's hard, you know. It's a bad time to meet, you know. So since we're doing a lot of virtual meetings and stuff, it kind of had to come together that way. Something started on Facebook, and then as we kind of see other members, other staff members, we're just trying to pass on the word if they want to get involved to join us. We have meetings, and we try to include everyone. Honestly, I have never been part of a group within Multnomah County that has been so inclusive and so thoughtful. I have people reaching out to me to make sure that translations are posted or that I have the support that I need. And within the organization that I, like Stephanie said, I've had to fight, you know, and that's a lot of energy wasted. We're trying to get people on board, but the communication is kind of the tough part. And some people we need to have direct conversations with to see where they stand, because we don't want to pressure anyone either. So we're getting going.
I saw you had a public demonstration on Monday. Are you planning any more?
Yeah, that was our first one. It was really successful. I think they had 32 people show up. It was at the Midland Library, and they wanted to get the message out. There was an elected official that was going to be present. I wasn't there, but they wanted to kind of like get that out there to that official and to really connect with her, because, you know, this information, the information that they get is primarily coming from the executive management team. So we just really want them to consider the community and the staff and our perspective so they can make that decision.
Okay. Well, I think we are just about out of time. Still wasn't able to find that person who wrote in, but I will link to it on my program page. So thank you so much, Wendy Medrano, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much for having me, and everybody remember, sign that petition. Thank you.
www.savelibrarystaff.org. This is Paul Rowland for Wednesday Talk Radio. Stay tuned for more great programming here on KBOO Community Radio. Bye-bye.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.